Chapter 16. Health, Exercise, and Healthful Living. The knowledge that man is to be a temple for God, a habitation for the revealing of His glory, should be the highest incentive to the care and development of our physical powers. Fearfully and wonderfully has the Creator wrought in the human frame, and He bids us make it our study, understand its needs, and act our part in preserving it from harm and defilement. Exercise makes sleep sweeter, steps livelier, females neglect to exercise their limbs in walking. Riding cannot take the place of walking. Many who are very feeble can walk if they only think so. They have not the disposition, and you will hear them plead, "Oh, I cannot walk. It puts me out of breath. I have a pain in my side, a pain in my back." Dear sisters, I wish you did not have these infirmities, but I know that yielding to them and giving up to an inactive life will not free you from them. Try to exercise moderately at first. Have rules to govern you. Walk. Yes, walk. If you possibly can, walk. Try it a short distance at first, you who think walking is impossible. You will no doubt become weary. Your side may ache. Your back give you pain. But this should not frighten you. Your limbs may feel weak, and no wonder when you have not used them much more than as if you had no limbs. If you would only walk and possess a perseverance in the matter, you could accomplish much in the direction of recovery. Your sleep would be sweeter. At every trial, go a little farther. Do not go dragging yourself along as though weights were attached to your limbs. Let the motion of your arms assist you in walking. Walk with a cheerful mind, and as you walk, look at the beauties of nature. Listen to the sweet songsters whose melody warbles forth in praises to their Creator. Be inspired by their happy gratitude. See all that you can that is beautiful and good and joyful, and let it enliven your steps and live in your thoughts through the day. Continue this exercise, and let no one dissuade you from it. Use the limbs God has given you, and look to Him for strength to use them. You may pray for strength day after day, and yet realize no change until you exercise the strength you already have. Give the Lord a chance to do something for you, by beginning the work for yourself. Every day you will realize a change for the better, notwithstanding you feel a sense of weariness. Sleep will bring you all right again, and you can increase your effort, until you, who cannot now walk a few rods from your boarding place, or from home to church, may walk 1 mile, and perhaps two, without injury. As I have labored to impress upon females the necessity of walking, some have received my ideas, and determined to carry them out at once. And at the first effort they walked perhaps half a mile, became exhausted and really suffered so much that they decided that walking was not best for them. These went to an extreme. They could not bear so much walking at first without injury. Some are ever disposed to go to extremes. They can never come up to the mark, and then be content to stop. They go beyond. They fail to make the best use of the reason heaven has granted them. Exercise essential. The following is a portion of a letter written to Edith Andrews, niece of Andrews. Attention to health is one of our most important duties. We owe this to ourselves, to society, and to God. Young men and young women are proverbially careless in regard to their health. Hundreds die in early life, not because of a dispensation of providence, but because of a dispensation of carelessness. Many girls go half-clad in cold weather. Others choose to sit reading or writing when they should be taking physical exercise. God gave them organs for use. The living machinery is not to be allowed to rust from inaction. To keep all the powers of the body equally taxed will require self-restraint. The lives of many who have suffered premature death might have been prolonged to old age had they acted intelligently. Disease and death have become common because of the unpardonable ignorance of those who ought to know better. Exercise is indispensable to the health of every organ. If one set of muscles is used to the neglect of others, the living machinery is not being worked intelligently. When physical exercise is taken, the circulation is quickened. The heart receives blood faster and sends it to the lungs faster. The lungs work more vigorously, furnishing a greater amount of blood, which is sent with stronger power through the entire being. Exercise gives new life and strength to every part of the body. The nerves gain or lose strength in accordance with the way in which they are treated. If used too long and too severely, they are overtaxed and weakened. If used properly, they gain strength. In order to have health, equilibrium of action must be maintained. The mind must harmonize with this, or the benefits are not realized. If physical exercise is regarded as drudgery, the mind takes no interest in the exercise of the different parts of the body. The mind must be interested in the exercise of the muscles. In the education of the youth, physical exercise must be combined with mental taxation. Young girls who have health never know how to appreciate its value. If their employment is sedentary, they have a distaste for other branches of labor. They complain of great weariness if they take exercise. This should be to them a convincing fact that they need to train their muscles. Laws of health to be strictly obeyed. A great amount of suffering might be saved if all would labor to prevent disease by strictly obeying the laws of health. Strict habits of cleanliness should be observed. Many, while well, will not take the trouble to keep in a healthy condition. They neglect personal cleanliness and are not careful to keep their clothing pure. Impurities are constantly and imperceptibly passing from the body, through the pores. And if the surface of the skin is not kept in a healthy condition, the system is burdened with impure matter. If the clothing worn is not often washed and frequently aired, it becomes filthy with impurities, which are thrown off from the body by sensible and insensible perspiration. And if the garments worn are not frequently cleansed from these impurities, the pores of the skin absorb again the waste matter thrown off. The impurities of the body, if not allowed to escape, are taken back into the blood and forced upon the internal organs. Nature, to relieve herself of poisonous impurities, makes an effort to free the system. This effort produces fevers and what is termed disease. But even then, if those who are afflicted would assist nature in her efforts by the use of pure, soft water, much suffering would be prevented. But many, instead of doing this, and seeking to remove the poisonous matter from the system, take a more deadly poison into the system to remove a poison already there. True remedies for health. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is essential both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and to have a practical training that will enable one rightly to use this knowledge. The influence of fresh air. Air, the precious boon of heaven which all may have, will bless you with its invigorating influence if you will not refuse it entrance. Welcome it, cultivate a love for it, and it will prove a precious soother of the nerves. Air must be in constant circulation to be kept pure. The influence of pure, fresh air is to cause the blood to circulate healthfully through the system. It refreshes the body and tends to render it strong and healthy, while at the same time its influence is decidedly felt upon the mind, imparting a degree of composure and serenity. It excites the appetite and renders the digestion of food more perfect and induces sound and sweet sleep. Sunlight, a necessity. There are but few who realize that, in order to enjoy health and cheerfulness, they must have an abundance of sunlight, pure air, and physical exercise. No room in the house should be considered furnished and adorned without the cheering, enlivening light and sunshine, which are heaven's own free gift to man. Pure water, one of heaven's blessings. Free use of water, in health and in sickness, pure water is one of heaven's choicest blessings. Its proper use promotes health. It is the beverage which God provided to quench the thirst of animals and man. Drunk freely, it helps to supply the necessities of the system and assists nature to resist disease. The external application of water is one of the easiest and most satisfactory ways of regulating the circulation of the blood. Pure water to drink and fresh air to breathe. Invigorate the vital organs, purify the blood, and help nature in her task of overcoming the bad conditions of the system. Ellen White insisted on following health principles in her home. This letter was written from Reno, Nevada, to brother and sister Lockwood, Marion Davis, Fanny Bolton, and May Walling, who remained at home. Mrs. White was attending a camp meeting there. "We arrived here in good condition this morning, a little before 7 o'clock. We find it would have been exactly as well for us if we had waited one day longer. There are preparations going on for our tent. A board floor is laid, and they are now looking for a carpet for the floor. The sister that worked for Sister Leininger has decided to come to my house or go to St. Helena. She is disappointed in her visit and wants to return, so I think she had better come. I can give her $12 per month now, and when I shall return, or when there are more responsibilities and more work to do, then I will increase her wages. When we found out I could not have her, I altered my plans materially, and that leaves but a small family at St. Helena and a small one at Healdsburg which May could manage. But if May should have a place to work and learn a trade, she needs clothing made for her. She has the material, and I want her dresses made respectably. The black dress I brought from Europe is to be finished, and others are to be made. And if Fanny has not employed a seamstress, let this girl do the sewing. If she cannot cut, let another seamstress cut. But tell them it is my positive orders that sleeves and waist be made loose, and not so tight that there will be compression anywhere. Every muscle must be left free to do its work, without having to strain the cloth to use the arms freely. This pinching is the fashion, but none of it must be done in my house, for I have some regard for the health of my workers. Give the lungs ample room to exercise, the heart ample room to do its work without one particle of pinching. The standard of fashion I do not respect, and will not have these new inventions practiced. I want to stand out clear and free from everything that will be the least detrimental to breathing or to perfect freedom of action. Let this sister have the sewing from Fanny to do. If she cannot cut and fit, she can work with one who does cut and fit. And I am decided that these close, skin-tight sleeves cannot be wise or healthful. And whether it be fashionable or unfashionable, I advise that they not be made after the tight order. Read this to the ones who do my sewing. I would be pleased to have May's clothing prepared, that she may go anywhere that it shall be necessary to learn a trade, or go to St. Helena in time. I want her to be fitted with good clothing. She needs a good sack, short jacket, of some kind made. There is that beaver sack in the trunk. May can have a cloak from that. Again, I give positive orders that it shall be made roomy, and not so tight that she cannot get it on or off without tugging and pulling. Now, if this girl at Brother Leininger's can sew, May can do the work and get her sewing done. If she, May, does her work systematically, and considers in the morning, and jots down upon paper just what she intends to do in the orderly accomplishment of her work, she will not lose time, but can take up one thing after another. The dishes are not to be left, to do any other part of the work. Attend to the kitchen work first. Then the beds have had a chance to air and may be made up. It is a very bad habit to let the work drag and drive one. Drive the work, and then you will not become discouraged. It is a bad plan to give way to impulse. If you see a book you would like to read and sit down in the midst of your work, and read during the precious hours of the day when there is work that needs to be done, then the work is neglected. Make it a habit not to sit up after 9 o'clock. Every light should be extinguished. This turning night into day is a wretched, health-destroying habit, and this reading much by brain workers, up to the sleeping hours, is very injurious to health. It calls the blood to the brain, and then there is restlessness and wakefulness, and the precious sleep that should rest the body does not come when desired. It is needful to take care of the body, and to study its needs and preserve it from unnecessary exposure. It is a sin to be ignorant of how to care for the wants of this habitation God has given us. Especially should brain workers begin to be soothed and not in any way excited as they draw nigh their hours for sleep. Let the blood be attracted from the brain by some kind of exercise, if need be. Let not the brain be taxed even to read, and of course, not to put forth literary effort. You shall, Marion and Fanny, have 1 or 2 hours, as will best please you, in the daytime, and you will not feel so starved for intellectual food that you will partake of it in the night hours. God designed that the night shall be given to sleep. Well, enough upon this point, I am sure. If we are not aroused to obey the laws God has established in our being, we need not expect that the Lord will work a miracle to counteract our own wrong course of action. We must put reason to work and do our utmost to learn what we must do in order. Not to form habits to pursue a certain course because we are inclined to do this, but to break up every habit that is the least injurious to health, for this God requires of us. Then we may ask God in faith to help us, and He will do it. Especially do I feel concerned for Fanny. I want her to recover from this nervousness and wakefulness, and in order to do this, she must take time to rest the brain, that the nerves may not be completely out of tune, like our old organ. When Fanny takes herself in hand, then she will see ways that she can improve her health. I feel so sorry for Fanny. She has a good frame, large bones, and should have good, sound nerves and muscles. And the reason she has not is because she has abused her brain and nerve power by overtaxation, keeping herself upon a strain, keyed up, when reason should take the reins and hold her in obedience to the laws of God which control the human system. I wish Fanny could hear the lectures given now upon health at the rural health retreat. She needs her mind and conscience stirred up on these things, and needs to use every power God has bestowed upon her to get well, that she may use these powers as God's entrusted gifts, that she may have healthful powers to exercise in all her work. Fanny, you need some physical exercise indoors and out each day. If you get tired, it will relieve the brain. What this exercise shall be, I leave you to determine. You can plan it yourself. Use your tact and powers of brain to devise what you will do daily in the line of physical exercise. And I want you to get waked up to this matter. Do not be a creature of impulse, but just bring yourself to regular rules and order. Take yourself in hand, bring yourself to time, and when the Lord sees you are doing what you can for yourself to keep in health, He will do on His part that which you cannot do. I now commit the keeping of your souls and bodies to your enlightened conscience, and to the power of God, which will work with your intelligent efforts to be well, that you may render to God better service, because it is not a sickly, diseased offering. I want that May Walling should feel that she must take care of her health, and fence against colds and needless exposure. I want you all there to keep in health, as a solemn duty that is devolving upon you. You must not be creatures of circumstances or impulse, but of sound reason. You must all study from cause to effect. I do not want one of you to overwork, but I want you to so systematize your work that you will be able to accomplish that which you do without friction and constant wear. God wants you to do this, and He will help you to do it. Only be true to yourself. Wake up in the mornings, set your hour to rise early, and bring yourself to it. Then retire at an early hour, and you will see that you will overcome many painful disorders which distress the mind, cause gloomy feelings, discouragement, and unhappy friction, and disqualify you for doing anything without great taxation. I hope and pray that these words may not prove to be idle tales to you, but that you will act upon them. May, especially, must consider what she has to do, and then not be slow and heartless, but do her work promptly and with cheerfulness, as if doing it for Jesus Christ.